I say good evening as well. Brother Duane has asked us to read from Psalm 61, the entire chapter. And as I read over this here before I got up here, a verse that jumped out to me, verse number 3, the first part of it, "Thou hast been a shelter for me." We experienced some rain and wind here this afternoon, and I think we all looked for shelter, whether in our homes or vehicles or wherever. I kind of doubt we were out in it, but we needed shelter, and God can be our shelter spiritually. Let's read from Psalm 61. "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the comfort of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." Let's all kneel as we pray.
Oh, thank you, Brother Derek, for your prayer for my behalf and as well as use for you all for praying. Appreciate that. Certainly need it. And title of the message scene is "Lead Me to the Rock." Mount Augustus in Western Australia is considered one of the largest, if not the largest, rock in the world. It stands over 2,300 feet above the surrounding plain and covers an area of nearly 12,000 acres. Its central ridge is almost 5 miles long. Giant Rock is a large freestanding boulder in the Mojave Desert near Landers, California. It covers 5,800 square feet of ground and is 7 stories high. But perhaps the most famous rock is the Rock of Gibraltar. It is famous because of its strategic location at the entrance to the Mediterranean Sea. These are great rocks of the world. They're symbolic of strength and stability. Perhaps you've even heard someone say, maybe a husband say, "You know, my wife is my rock." I've heard that before. It has the meaning of being a source of support or strength and stability in their life. Well, I looked at the scriptures that refer to God as a rock and the Lord Jesus as a rock. You know, in Psalms alone, God is referred to as a rock at least 20 times. The truth is that the Bible refers many times to God as a rock to his people. So why so many times in Scripture? Well, there's significance to God being referred to as a rock. The rock is a metaphor that represents God as a firm foundation and a refuge for those who trust in him, and saying God is a rock, a safe shelter. Rock symbolizes God's strength, his faithfulness and reliability. In 2 Samuel 22, verse 2, David says, "The Lord is my rock." Psalm 18, 2, again, David speaking, "The Lord is my rock." And later in Psalm 18:31, "For who is God save," meaning "but the Lord," "for who is God but the Lord, or who is a rock save or except our God?" Who is a rock except our God? Psalm 62:2 is David again speaking, "He only is my rock." Psalm 42:9 says, "I will say unto God, my rock." Psalm 92:15 says, to show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock. And we flip to the New Testament, and 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4 is referring to the children of Israel and says, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was who? Christ. As believers, God is our rock. So we can say, God is the rock of my life. Or Jesus Christ is my rock. And it would be accurate. In fact, it would be good for us to think of him that way, and we should be, and it don't hurt to say it. But let's look at what it means for God and the Lord Jesus to be our rock. Number one, for this evening, he's the rock of our salvation. Psalm 95, verse 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. God is the one who has rescued us from sin. He initiated the plan of salvation. It's from God that we receive the offer of salvation. So God is the rock of our salvation. It's also true that Jesus Christ is a trustworthy, rock-solid Savior. He's our rock. Psalm 18, verse 46, the Lord liveth and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. You know, the Lord is either the precious rock of our salvation or a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. 1 Peter 2 talks about that in verses 6 through 8. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Romans 9:33 says, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. This is referring to those who do not or who did not pursue salvation by faith, but rather they tried it to find it by works. And Jesus Christ became a rock of offense to them rather than a rock of salvation. You know, for the true believer, the Lord is the rock of our salvation. Hallelujah, this evening. That's precious. Psalm 62, verse 2 says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. Also, verse 6 in Psalm 62 says that as well. Well, secondly, as our rock, he's our foundation. Isaiah 28:16 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Psalm 40, verse 2, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, a sure foundation, and established my goings. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. What's the point of the cornerstone? The cornerstone sets the foundation and squared the building. You know, they didn't have all the up-to-date technical or the advanced ways we have of squaring. Lasers and all that good stuff. But the cornerstone set the foundation and squared the building. And if we lose sight of Christ, if he is not the cornerstone, everything else will be off. Every aspect of our lives. If Jesus Christ is not the cornerstone, every other aspect is going to be off. Every aspect of this church, of this congregation, if Jesus Christ is not the cornerstone, it will be off. He must be the stone, the rock that sets the foundation and squares the building. As believers, we are living stones, aren't we? 1 Peter 2:5 says, "Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." We are living stones building a spiritual house upon the chief's cornerstone, a sure foundation. He is our one and only foundation, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, as Isaiah 28:16 says. Well, Jesus also spoke of a sure foundation when he told of a wise and foolish man in Matthew 7. I'm going to read that, the four verses that deal with that. Verse starting at verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." House there represents our life. If we are building our life on the sayings of Christ, or doing them, and on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, it says, Jesus said that obedience to his word is like a wise man building his house and building it on rock instead of a sand. And I like what Brother Harold Martin said on this, and I'm quoting him. He said, "We are building every day, all the time, by the things we do, by the thoughts we think, by the words we speak, and even by the pictures we hang on the walls of our imagination. The aim of all of us should center on being careful not to put any shoddy materials into our building. Our lives will withstand the storms and struggles of each day only if we live for God and seek to practice what our Lord Jesus commanded," end quote. That's keeping Jesus as our cornerstone and foundation, our rock, and building our lives upon it. Building on the rock, Christ Jesus, it includes obedience to God's word, which calls for repentance, the rejection of salvation by works, which is so easy for us to get into and to want to try to strive for. And we need to reject that and accept the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and his merciful provision of Christ's death. That's not rejecting obedience to his word and the things that we are called upon to do. Great was the fall of the foolish man's house, but the house of the wise man fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. God, the Lord Jesus, as our rock, is the rock of our salvation. He's our foundation. And thirdly, he's the rock that hears. Psalm 61, the text that was written or read here this evening. "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer," verse 1. "From the end of the earth, why cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Verse 5, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. The rock that I am to be led to is the rock that hears. He's the rock that hears. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Our Lord is the rock that hears. He has heard our vows. Did you make any vows? God has heard the vows we've made. We've said that we believe that Jesus was the Son of God and brought from heaven a saving gospel. Then let's believe it. We made that vow. We said we believe it. Let's believe it. The only saving gospel is what Jesus brought. There are no others. Only his finished work will save us. So hold to that. Base our lives on it. We said that we would renounce Satan and all his pernicious or evil ways and all the sinful pleasures of the world. So let's say no to Satan and avoid his evil ways and stay away from them and say no to the sinful pleasures of the world. God's heard our vows. You know, there are pleasures of this world that aren't sinful. Right? You agree with that? I find it a pleasure to eat. Don't you? That's a pleasure of this world. That's not sinful. It can be if we overeat. But the act itself is not sinful. So there are pleasures of this world that aren't sinful. But we need to say no to the ones that are. We said that we would be faithful till death. That's a vow that we made as believers. That's our responsibility. To be faithful till death. God heard that vow. Well, what about if we get weary, or we have doubts, or doubts try to take over? Remember our vow. We need to be faithful to death. God has heard us. He's heard our vows. He's the rock that hears. God has heard our cries when our hearts are overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Maybe you're crying out for a loved one's soul. Maybe it's for a loved one's health. Maybe it's for a relationship that's going bad. Maybe you're crying out to God for yourself for some reason. You know, in Psalm 42, 9, the psalmist is feeling, he says, I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? He felt as if God had forgotten him. In other words, God wasn't hearing. God didn't know what was going on with him. God had forgotten all about his life. And it may seem like he's forgotten at times because he's quiet, but he hasn't forgotten. He hears. He's at work, even when it seems he's not. God has heard your cries because he's the rock that hears. Someone has wrote these words, and I like them because they certainly speak what I'm trying to say here. They meet what we're trying to say this evening, or at least part of it. It says, downhearted Christian, I know you're weary. And you know what? I wonder how many weary Christians there really are, and we just don't know it. People get weary for various reasons. I know you're weary of carrying your heavy load, so many burdens and disappointments. You're at the end of your rope. But I'm here to bring you a ray of hope. God has heard your cry. In the stillness of the night, when you poured out your hurt, he never missed a word. Isn't that great? He never missed a word. He counted every tear you've shed down through the years. So rest assured, knowing deep inside, God has heard your cry. Rest assured. He has heard your cry this evening. He is the rock that hears. Psalm 28, verse 1 and 2 says, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord my rock, hear the voice of my supplications." Well, fourthly, God, our Lord Jesus, as our rock, he's our rock of refuge. Our rock of refuge. Psalm 94, 22, "But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge." He's our refuge, a place of safety and security, a safe place, a shelter in the time of storm. You know, the hymn, Rock of Ages, it's precious words. Listen to, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me." The word cleft means split open. In other words, Jesus divided for me on the cross in purchasing my salvation. He was split open. "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Our rock, the Lord Jesus, was split open, and in doing so, provided a place of refuge and salvation for all who believe. It's a place of refuge. "Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath, and make me pure." The rest of that hymn speaks of completely relying on the Rock of Ages as our refuge from sin, a refuge for salvation, and even in death. "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Without you washing me, I have no hope. Not the labor of my hands, not all that I can do, can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know?" In other words, there's not even a short period of rest. I couldn't even find a short period of rest from trying to accomplish it on my own with the labor of my hands. Could my tears forever flow? Not enough tears could earn it. All for sin could not atone. Thou must save. Rock of Ages, thou must save, and thou alone. While I draw this fleeting breath, look, this is even good in death. When my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. The Lord is a rock of refuge for the believer. But you know, it's not just for salvation. Oh, that's the wonderful part. That's the best part. But he is a rock of refuge for day-by-day experiences. When we're facing a difficult situation or a problem that seems too big to handle, we can run to him. When you're facing something during the day and it's something, I don't know about this, do you call out in the Lord? Is that who we call out to? Because he's a place of refuge. We can run to him. Maybe it's a big problem and we can't handle it. He's there to understand, to help, to protect us, a refuge, to give us peace. He wants us to surrender it to him. As Brother Donald said on Wednesday evening, about the value of surrender, and realizing that God is our defense, let God defend us. Perhaps someone's attacking you. Let God do the defending. He's our refuge. Run to the rock that is higher than us. He's our rock of refuge. We can patiently wait for justice on his behalf from him. Psalm 61. "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Verse 3, "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." Psalm 62, verse 2, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Verse 8 of Psalm 62, Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. He wants us to pour out our hearts. You know, God's always in tune with us when it's coming from our heart. Whether it's in service to Him and seeking Him, that's what He wants, a heart that's seeking Him. Or whether it's a heart that's pouring out, it's how it's overwhelmed. God's in tune to our hearts. Well, not only is our Lord the rock of refuge, but number five, He is the rock of our strength. Psalm 62, verse 7, In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. In Isaiah 17, God is called the rock of thy strength. When Israel, they had forgotten God. Verse 10 says, Because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength. Interesting. Max Lucado writes in this account, he says, In August of 1930, 45-year-old Joseph Crater waved goodbye to friends after an evening meal in a New York restaurant. He flagged down a taxi and rode off. He was never seen or heard from again. A search of his apartment revealed one clue. It was a note attached to a check, and both were left for his wife. The check was for a sizable amount, and the note simply read, I am very weary. Love, Joe. You ever weary? Are we weary from the battles of the Christian life? Like Joe, do we just want to give up sometimes and get away from everything? Are we weary of wrong seeming to be winning over right? Are we weary from the hard times of this life? Are we weary because of life changes? Yeah, life changes have been hitting on me a little bit more recently, it seems. And maybe we're weary because of life changes and we remember life before and now it's different. Do you experience weariness? Do I? Remember, our Lord is the rock of our strength. No matter what our weariness is, He's the rock of our strength. No matter what our weariness is, He's the rock of our strength. You know, God did not call us to be His children and then leave us to be orphans. Did He? Did He? No. God said He would be with us always. So that means that the rock of our strength is with us. He's our Father. God doesn't give us a command or give us commands to obey and lead us in making decisions and then not give us the strength to carry them out. He follows through. He's the rock of our strength. Maybe we're frustrated, battling something in our life, temptation, a sin, a bad habit. And, you know, there was an offer put out for a group to gather. If you're struggling there, that's a valuable, something valuable that's been offered. But whether you're in a group or not, perhaps you're struggling with something in your life, or we are as believers. And it seems like God's power is not evident. You know what? Keep battling. God's power is still working. And you know what? He'll use these difficulties to strengthen us. He will. I've found that to be true. And it's not that I've done anything, but it's because he's done it. And he'll strengthen us if we keep battling and strengthen us for down the road. Even in the battle, we must look to God for our strength. No matter how weary we get, we have a rock. I love the way this is put into words, and I want to read this. Maybe you can relate to this. Someone wrote this, listen, have you ever been down, down, down? Ever been so far down you've had to reach up to touch the ground? That's pretty low. Have you ever been low, 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 and all you had to hold was a single thread of hope? Well, I've been there too. And let me tell you, there's good news. There's a rock at the bottom. It's Jesus, the rock of ages. So stand up. The ground is solid. There's a rock at the bottom when you hit rock bottom. Oh, I like that. You can know the foundation you're standing on. It's a tried and trusted stone. Keep looking up, up, up. Remember when life is rough. Yeah, even when life gets tough, there's a rock at the bottom. It's Jesus, the rock of ages. So stand up. The ground is solid. There's a rock at the bottom when you hit rock bottom. The only cure for whatever weariness we experience is to remember that the Lord is the rock of our strength. That's the only cure. As believers, just as a rock is symbolic of strength and stability, we have a rock, capital R, that is strong, that is reliable, that is always faithful. He's the rock of our salvation. He's the rock making our foundation. He's the rock that hears. He's our rock of refuge. He's our rock of our strength. Turn to Psalm, if you would. I don't know if you have your Bibles open yet, but Psalm 78, here in closing, I want you to see something. It's an interesting statement. Psalm 78, it gives the account of Israel's sins after they were miraculously brought out of Egypt. And it tells how God provided for them. And then verse 32 says, for all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. And then verse 33, therefore their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they sought him and they returned and inquired early after God. Now, this is what I want you to see in verse 35. And they remembered that God was their rock. And the high God, their Redeemer. They remembered that God was their rock. But if you read on a few verses more, their dedication, it wasn't genuine. It was flattery. And God was not pleased, but he took into account the flesh and was willing to forgive. But my point is this, that their hearts weren't genuine in it. They remembered God as a rock, but their hearts weren't genuine in it. So my point is this, perhaps we need to remember that God is our rock. And I think we need reminded of that and encouraged in that. But at the same time, we want to have the heart that seeks God. That seeks him. And that's genuine. And follows through. Not just remembering that he's our rock, but follows through in how we live day by day. And building on our cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, as living stones. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And I, Mayor Colin led this morning, and I was going to refer to it this evening. Oh, sometimes the shadows are deep. and rough seems the path to the goal, and sorrows how often they sweep, like tempests down over the soul. Oh, sometimes how long seems the day. Just one day sometimes is hard to get through. And sometimes how weary my feet. But toiling in life's dusty way, the rock's blessed shadow, how sweet. Oh, near to the rock let me keep. Or blessings or sorrows prevail. Or climbing the mountain way steep. Or walking the shadowy vale. Help me stay near the rock. Oh, then to the rock let me fly. To the rock that is higher than I. That's why we got to go to him. He's higher than us. He certainly has the right perspective of everything. And he sees it all. And he's got the rock of our strength. Oh, then to the rock let me fly. To the rock that is higher than I. My desire, prayer this evening, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, and let me hide myself in the rock of ages.